What's up, guys? I'm sure many of you play fantasy football. I know I do. I know Weiss does. If you need some advice, make sure you stay ahead of the curve with a new podcast called Fantasy Foresight. Jay and Ben, they focus 100% on fantasy football. They share their total foresight with private metrics and projections you can't get anywhere else, and they want to help you win your fantasy football league. If you play fantasy football, whether you're a veteran like myself or this is your first season, you can't afford to miss their podcast. It's called the Fantasy Foresight Podcast. Make sure to check them out.
I know what you can do, Jim. Take those black licorice, then go get some of those red licorice. Take them in your hand, roll them up real tight.
And shove it up my butt.
Damn it, Jim! You stole my afternoons, now you stole my line. It's not shove it up your butt, it's I'll kill you! I'll kill you dead!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Another week, another Giants loss, and another time where John Merritt put his foot in his fucking mouth because he just can't get out of his own way. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So, first things first, you can follow me on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If we're not on your app, you tell us. We'll get on your favorite podcast app. I promise you. We'll get on there. You just DM me, you DM Weiss. Tweet at us. Do whatever. We'll get there. Shout out to our sponsors, the Fantasy Foresight Podcast and MyBookie.ag. I crushed it again this weekend. I went 19-7 on Saturday. Came out with a little bit of a profit on NFL Sunday. Got crushed yesterday by the Packers, but I'm about to bounce back with some nice NHL picks. We'll get into some more about the MyBookie sponsorship later in the show. That's about it. Weiss, let's get into it. Let's talk Giants, Eagles, John Maron, Odell Beckham, and the future of our favorite franchises. It's looking bleak. It's not looking good. Let's start with Giants, Eagles. Thursday night, prime time, laid another egg. I'll let you take it away because I really don't know where to even start.
We'll start with my thoughts.
Well, first of all, how are you?
I am good.
Okay, good. We're both getting crushed by our personal work right now. And the Giants aren't really helping.
Basically, on Thursday, I left work early. I was very excited for this game. I thought that there was a game where, you know, the Giants could steal one and sort of get back into it. I thought it was this one. I didn't pick them to win the game, but I was very excited for it.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
This is the last time I let the Giants ruin personal plans because I was supposed to fly to Atlanta on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And I missed my flight.
Holy crap.
Because I overslept because I was an idiot. And I booked a 6 a.m. flight, didn't get to bed until slightly after midnight, and I overslept.
Damn.
This is the last time I ever let the Giants ruin my personal life, ever.
Well, I didn't miss a flight, but I was sad.
God bless.
And I was so sad, and I was so angry that I didn't get much sleep Thursday night.
Okay.
After the game. You know, I didn't bother going on Twitter and hearing all that talk. You know, I was sad, and I'll tell you why. Ethan, I'm 27 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. FYI. Since I've been watching football, the first year I really got into the NFL and the Giants and sort of picked my team was the year 2000, ironically the year they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a backstory.
Still pretty young.
Yeah, I can give you guys a backstory about why I'm a Giants fan living in D.C. another day. But anyways, the year 2000 was the year I really became a Giants fan. Still remember the first full Giants game I watched. It was the 9-7 victory over the Redskins in late December in 2000. But anyways, the first real NFL draft that I got into was the 2004 draft, the year the Giants moved up and selected Eli Manning. That was the year that every evening I would watch SportsCenter. I would keep up with, at the time, what Mel Kiper Jr. was saying, and I was really, really locked in, and I really enjoyed it. And
Simpler times right. When you could just tune into one source.
Yes.
No matter how wrong that source is.
Basically, long story short, the longest time I can remember, Eli Manning has been the Giants quarterback, right? He's been my quarterback.
And yep.
For him, I've seen two Super Bowls. Two of the best moments of my life. I still remember both Super Bowls clearly, where I was, how I celebrated.
Me too.
With who I celebrated. Great moments in my life as a fan of a team. On Thursday, Ethan, it was sad because I saw a quarterback that was finished. And can Eli Manning still put together a couple of good games? Yes. Can Eli Manning still, you know, put up numbers where you can talk yourself into believing that he can play another year? Possibly. But for all regards, Ethan, Eli Manning is not a capable quarterback anymore. He's finished. He's on his last leg.
We went through the list a few weeks ago of every quarterback in the NFL and who we'd rather have over Eli.
Yeah,
he's done.
On Thursday, we're still a person that believed that Eli could still lead a team. Thursday, a lot of people I sensed they realized it, that this time is coming to an end, and it's sad. You know, it's sad, and I put out this tweet. I don't blame Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning is 38 years old. It's human nature that a body breaks down.
Father time is undefeated.
Exactly. And, you know, I blame the Giants. I blame the Giants for not putting together a plan. I blame the Giants for not, you know, understanding that this could happen. We're 5 weeks into the season, and the same people.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, I'm sorry. We're 6 weeks into the NFL season. The same people who said, you know, this team can do it. They got Eli a running game. They got Eli a left tackle. The same people that said that 6 weeks ago said all that are now of the understanding that it's over.
Not only that, they're the same people that said that Saquon Barkley and a left tackle and a new coach and, you know, all that other stuff are now the same people that are saying, well, it doesn't matter now because they can get Justin Herbert anyway.
Right.
Flawed logic, failing upwards. I'll get into that later.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't want to sit here and go back to the draft. If the Giants truly in their hearts, and I don't believe this, but if they believed, if Dave Gettleman, if the front office, if Pat Shurmur, if they all believe that none of these quarterbacks after Baker Mayfield were going to become franchise guys, if they really believe that, right, and they really believe that Saquon Barkley is this once in a generational back, and he's looking like he is. I mean, there were runs in that game that, to me, I've never seen. They're unreal. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't a fan of the pick, but it's a damn good football player.
We can appreciate the talent.
Exactly. He is a great, great player. Even if you were content on taking Saquon Barkley, there were quarterbacks out there that you could have signed. Teddy Bridgewater. Do you know what really pissed me off when I thought about this, when I thought of Teddy Bridgewater? This whole offseason, the Giants signed just about every single former Carolina Panther because he played other than Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
This was a quarterback.
And Mike Shula, who, by the way, is terrible. Yes,
right. This was one quarterback who Pat Shurmur speaks very highly of, who signed a one-year, $2 million deal with the New York Jets. That was the move that I thought, if you were content on taking Saquon Barkley, which I think they were after the combine, you should have gotten Teddy Bridgewater.
I'll counter that. I'll counter that when you're done.
Okay. To put it in perspective, the Giants didn't have no plan for this because they put all their eggs in one basket with Eli Manning, and now it is shooting them in the face. This is another lost season. They're done. They're not going to overcome a 1-5. They're finished. Their quarterback is all but finished.
And half their defense is given up, by the way.
And we saw a lack of effort once again. Now, the real test for the Giants going forward is, how do we keep this locker room together? Doesn't help when your owner starts saying stuff. But how do we keep this locker room together? How do we not make this terrible, awful season, when it comes to the win-loss record, not be what it was last year? That's going to be the test for Pat Shurmur. That's how we're going to judge Pat Shurmur going forward, is how can he keep this locker room together? And you know what? One other thing that we're going to learn about this team going forward, because they're going to lose more games, is we're going to learn about these players' character. Who's going to be a part of this culture change? Because I will say this, it doesn't matter how many great players you have, but if you don't have a culture, if you don't have a strong locker room, it's not going to work. So that's one thing we're going to learn about this team going forward. As far as the game, you know, the Eagles are just a much better team. The pass rush was sensational. And I want to say this, it's not all Eli Manning. The offensive line is horrendous. It still is horrendous. Nate Solder is just way too up and down for me. I understand the signing because they were desperate. Will Hernandez, I like. Patrick Omame and Chad Wheeler are not the answer. Greco at center, he's way past his prime. He's probably not the long-term solution. So this offensive line is still in complete rebuild mode. And, you know, at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. They're 1-5. They're headed nowhere. And they have no long-term plan at quarterback at the moment. So that's my take.
All right. Well, let me counter the Teddy Bridgewater take, because, you know, could he be a capable quarterback in the NFL? Sure. We still have really no idea because he hasn't taken a meaningful snap since 2016. He has a totally reconstructed knee. And yeah, he's got some familiarity with Pat Shurmur, obviously, from his Minnesota days. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to be 26 at the end of this season. Now, realistically, you said it. The Jets signed him to that 1 year, $2 million deal, eventually traded him to the Saints. There's no scenario where, you know, if they draft Kyle Lauletta and they have Teddy Bridgewater on this roster, right? Like, what are they going to do? At the end of 1-5, they have Teddy Bridgewater sitting on the bench and they have Kyle Lauletta sitting on the bench. One, who do they decide to play? Two, it's not like, you know, we'll talk about whether or not Kyle Lauletta deserves snaps later in the season, because personally, I think he does. But are you really going to bench Eli for a guy you have on a 1 year deal?
Yeah, because see, the difference
logically, yes. Logically, yes. Would John Mara and the Giants do it? No. Which is my only counter to that, right? Logically, yes. You see what you have in your other guys because the season's lost. Will they do that? I'm doubtful. Should Kyle Lauletta get snaps later in the season? Yes. Will he? To be determined. Now, on your point to the offensive line, yeah. They've been absolutely horrendous.
Horrendous.
However,
just complete garbage.
Through week 5, I'm going to read you 20 through 32 of Pro Football Focus's ranked offensive lines. Number 20, Carolina Panthers. They are still a good team because they have a good quarterback. Number 21, the Miami Dolphins. Brock Osweiler led them to a tie this weekend. They're what, 2-3-1? Something like that. Still okay.
Miami Dolphins are 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah.
3-2-1?
No, I don't think the Dolphins ever had a tie. I think
they lost in overtime to the Bears this weekend, or they tied?
They beat the Bears this weekend.
They beat, okay. Irrelevant to the point, but they still have 3 wins. 22, the New York Jets.
The Dolphins, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins are 4-2.
So they did beat the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay. Beat the Bears. Number 22, the New York Jets with rookie Sam Darnold, who has looked good. Okay, that's number 22. Number 23, the Raiders, they're a disaster. Number 24, the Giants, a disaster because they don't have a quarterback that can overcome a little bit of pressure. Number 25, Los Angeles Chargers, still looking good. Phillip Rivers, old, same age as Eli, can still escape the pocket and make a play. Yep. Buffalo Bills, they were starting a rookie. He got hurt. They looked terrible. 27, Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, not a mobile guy. Still making plays, looks really good this year. 28, the Bucs. Disaster. 29, Seahawks, Russell Wilson can still overcome pressure because he's a mobile guy. 30, Bengals. The Bengals. They can't get over that hump and beat the Steelers this past week or ever, but Andy Dalton can still make a play. 31,
they have
Houston
the
Texans.
Friend on that roster too.
Yep. Bobby Hart.
Yep.
31, Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson can overcome pressure. 32, Arizona Cardinals, Josh Rosen. They're terrible. He's a rookie. He's got growing pains, but he's still making throws. He still looks good. There are bad offensive lines around the league, including for teams that are still performing well. The offensive line for the Giants is garbage, but capable quarterbacks can overcome that because offensive line play around the league is down. Those are my 2 points that I wanted to make to whatever you were just speaking to.
Yeah. I see what you're coming from. And obviously logic hasn't been used a lot with the Giants. They haven't made a lot of smart decisions. To me, it would have been so much better if they had a capable backup quarterback. Alex Haney's not that. I mean, no. Alex Haney's been in the league for like 7 years. He's never started a game.
Mm-hmm.
Thing he's throwing like he's basically what Josh Johnson was.
He was throwing like 9 passes.
Yeah, I mean it's you have to have a capable backup out there, even RG3, somebody like that. But the Giants just you know, they replaced Davis Webb, an unknown, with Kyle Letta, who's their unknown. You know, it's I told you this morning. They're replacing the old guys with Dave Gettleman's guys. It's you know, it's addition by subtraction here.
Now, I know you wanted to get into the Eagles game, which we will, but since we're talking about quarterbacks, I'm going to throw this out there because it's something that I've been thinking. And shout out to Will because he brought this up to me this morning. If we go back to last year, let's say Justin Herbert is in last year's draft class and he declares.
Uh-huh.
Where do you rank him? Because everyone's going bananas for Justin Herbert.
Right.
He's played well.
Yeah.
His offensive line is unreal.
Yep.
You said it yourself. They've got a lot of guys who are draft candidates.
Their coach, Oregon coach, is a former offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an eye for talent.
Justin Herbert is not going number one overall in last year's draft class. He's not even my number two. He's my three or four. So the same people that are advocating, oh, it's fine, we could just take Justin Herbert. Well, now you're taking, again, an unknown. We don't know what Justin Herbert's going to be. But again, this is what we do. We speculate. We look at the college tape. We evaluate. He is not even my top two. I'd rather have a Baker Mayfield. I'd rather have Josh Rosen. I'd probably rather have Darnold, who I was, you know, admittedly wrong about, right? My stance on Darnold was he was my three or four last year. But if the Giants were willing to commit to him because he's a quarterback and they saw something in him, I was willing to ride that wave. Darnold all the way. If that's who they decided was their guy, go Sam Darnold. And he's proven a lot of people wrong. He's looked great behind the Jets' 22nd ranked offensive line, where his number one receivers are Enunwa, Robbie Anderson, Terrell Pryor, his running backs, Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell. Their roster's got nobody, and he's looked great.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, I don't want to keep revisiting the 2018 draft because of the quarterback situation, but you're nailing it. I mean, I like Justin Herbert. I like what I saw from him against Washington. That's an NFL caliber defense because they have some NFL caliber players on there. They are one of the best defenses in the country. But again, I'm going to be honest. This is the first real game where I sat down and watched it from start to finish. I want to watch more of him as well. But just, I mean, early reviews, I mean, you like what you see. There's some highs or some lows. But, you know, again, if he was in last year's class, where would he rank? To me, I would probably put him behind Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. somewhere between where Sam Darnold is. I mean, it'll be that's where we would put him. So, again, you know, it comes back to this. You can't put your eggs all in one basket when it comes to the quarterback position. Right now, it seems like a lot of fans are saying, oh, we're going to, you know, lose a lot of games. We're going to get Justin Herbert, where, you know, there's not a lot of teams that are slated to pick in that top 10 that are going to need a quarterback. Well, you don't know that. You know, 2 weeks ago, if I told you that there's talk of the Raiders moving on from Derek Carr, not a lot of people would believe that. Now it's almost like people are banking on it.
And not only that, right? Let's say the Giants don't finish with the number one overall, right? Let's say it's the Raiders. Now we're getting into hypotheticals, but who cares? This is what we do on the podcast. We go off, whatever.
Right.
If it's the Raiders, let's say that they decide Carr is not their guy. Okay, then they take Herbert. What if they decide that Carr is their guy? They've got the Mac draft picks. What if John Elway doesn't like what he sees out of Swag Kelly?
John Elway was there.
John Elway was literally there watching Justin Herbert this past weekend.
A Stanford quarterback doesn't go to Oregon game unless he's looking for one.
Yeah. Right? So what if John Elway decides to trade with the Raiders? The Raiders decide Carr is their guy. Now John Gruden's got the Mac draft picks, the first overall draft picks, and they decide to rebuild around him. Now the Giants are shit out of luck, and now they have to decide whether Will Greer is worth it or what they do with their second, third, fourth overall draft pick, whatever it is. Right? If the Giants do end up with Justin Herbert, it's failing upwards. Just because they fell ass backwards into Justin Herbert doesn't mean that Dave Gettleman and John Mara and this organization knows what they're doing. The fact that they messed this up already shouldn't give fans confidence that, oh, you know what? Well, we got a quarterback anyway. Because it shows they've proven already they don't know how to build a roster or evaluate a roster properly. Because Saquon Barkley was the win now pick. They truly believed that with Eli, that this team could be competitive this year. Well, now we're 1-5. It's failing upwards. That's what the Giants are doing. If they land Justin Herbert, it's because they failed upwards. It shouldn't give fans confidence. It shouldn't.
Yeah, I truly believe.
It wasn't the plan.
I truly believe that the Giants really felt that they could get a few more years out of Eli Manning, and they were never serious about taking a quarterback.
Right.
I truly believe that. I believe that when Dave Gettleman was hired, within 3 weeks, they knew they were taking Saquon Barkley.
Less. Because the only reason Dave Gettleman got that job is because he went to John Mara and said, no, I like what I saw out of Eli. Eli's got time left. And John Mara had PTSD from the uproar for benching Eli Manning, which, by the way, Can we talk about that for a second? People sure. are like, oh, you know what? Well, you know, Giants fans are now getting what they paid. What's coming to them? No, fuck Please. You. That's not what happened. Okay, yes. If John Mara and Ben McAdoo said, you know what? Fine, Eli's done. Let's bench him. Then if they decided let's play Davis Webb, fine. That is the right move. Not for Geno Smith. They chose Geno Smith.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, no, it's not even that they chose Geno Smith. The whole plan from the get-go where, Eli, you're going to play, but, you know, we're just trying to keep your streak alive. Then we're going to take you out. And I mean, it's like a preseason game.
It's insulting.
It was a flawed plan, and the outrage was from that. And the outrage was also from the fact that how can you let a head coach and a quarterback, a head coach and a GM that you're going to fire at the end of the season make decisions like this?
Well, backed by John Mara, but...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's backed by the owner. That's my whole point. And we'll talk about that in a second. But as far as the Eagles game, me personally, I saw a lack of effort. I saw a quarterback that is pretty much on his last leg. I saw offensive line that's not improved. I saw a wide receiver who has the same type of issues that he's had in previous years when it comes to sideline stuff. And I saw a running back in Saquon Barkley who seems to be fucking amazing. And... if for, like you say, if the Giants can back into a quarterback, a capable quarterback, a quarterback that they can be a franchise quarterback, then you have to be excited about the future of this team.
Fine, yeah.
But that's a big if.
Huge.
Because the same people that are looking for the next quarterback are the ones that told you 2 months ago that they believe Eli Manning has
used exactly. Exactly.
So just be worried. Talk about Justin Herbert all you want. Talk about the upcoming draft all you want. But don't ever forget that this general manager told you a month, 2 months ago that Eli Manning has years left.
Yep. And that should still worry people when it comes to this upcoming draft. People are getting excited about Justin Herbert. We have no clue what Gettleman's going to do.
Yeah.
For all we know, Eli's going to rattle off a few good games at the end of the year because the second half is way easier than the first. Granted, they maybe two or three wins, but, you know, if what I saw against Houston wasn't a mirage, and was in my Boston accent, okay?
Yeah.
I parked the car in Harvard Yard, and I watched Eli Manning against the Houston Texans.
And okay? It wasn't even that great.
If it's not a mirage.
Like, Eli was great in that game, but... compared to some of the other performances we've seen by quarterback, it wasn't like, oh my God, it's one of the best quarterback performances of the season.
Right.
I mean, up to Eli's standards over the past couple of years, yeah, it was great. But I don't know, it's a tough time.
If you're a Giants fan and you're not angry or upset, you are apathetic,
even if you don't care anymore. Yeah. Even if you wanted them to draft Saquon Barkley, right? Even if you believe that none of these quarterbacks are going to be good, you have to be angry at the fact that the Giants really, like, they put someone in a position of power who sat up there and told you that Eli Manning has years left. He told you that. How can you think that watching this?
It's insane.
Even if you don't think he deserves the majority of the blame, even if you think that the offensive line is horrendous and, you know, Pat Shurmur's offense stinks, even if you think that, how can you watch Eli Manning over the last 6 weeks and tell yourself, yes, that's my quarterback for the next 2 years, 3 years? How?
Especially when you consider the cap savings if he retires.
That's what scares me about this. See, you're going to lose games, right? Like, this roster stinks. And I understand that when the new GM coming in, it's going to be a process to rebuild. This wasn't a win-now team. We talked about it throughout the whole offseason. But what gets me scared is that I don't know if the Giants have the right person in charge that can fix this. I hope he does. I hope they do.
I mean, we're both pretty upfront adamant that he is not the right guy. Neither of us was particularly, particularly, we were both pissed that he was the guy.
Like I said, we're going to talk about
old balls of Corsi come in and be the advisor to John Mara.
They interviewed four people,
three of whom were in the organization or who had familiarity with the organization.
One of which that was fired right away.
They won.
He couldn't even keep his current job. They were trying to give him a promotion.
Insane. Let's talk ownership and Odell.
Let's talk about some comments. Oh, man.
Well, you know, you already know. Yeah. It was John Mara to the ESPN reporters at owner's meeting.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What Odell said in the interview with Lil Wayne, it was a stupid decision, right? I understand where Odell's coming from. We talked about it last week.
Yep.
The one thing that I think that you can understand John Mara to be pissed about, right, and deservedly so, is the fact that you just gave this man a $90 million contract. You made him the highest paid wide receiver in the league, in history. And he gets asked a question about whether he wants to be here, and he won't be direct about it.
Yeah.
As any type of investor or owner of a sports team, if you invest your money into something and you get that sort of clap back, that's not going to sit well with you. But here's the thing, okay? I read the transcript. Shout out to Kimberly Jones from NFL Network. She posted the transcript. I read the transcript, and here's what my main thing from that is, right? John Mara said that he didn't feel like he needed to speak to Odell privately because there were people in the organization that already did that. Enough people did that. Well, if there are enough people to talk to Odell about what he did and you don't feel the need to talk to him privately, then what makes you believe or want to go do it publicly?
Now, let's do this. This isn't scripted. Let's do a little PR 101 for John Mara. You be ESPN, I'll be John Mara. Go ahead and ask me about Odell and Lil Wayne. Go ask me about him.
You know, Mr. Mara, what did you think about, you know, Odell's interview with, you know, ESPN and having Lil Wayne sit next to him?
Oh, Lil Wayne, Carter 5 was great. Thanks, guys. I'll see you later. Okay. All right. That was take one. Didn't cause any controversy. Ask me again. Let's try it one more time. Let's see how I do.
What did you think about Odell's interview with ESPN and the comments he made?
Oh, you know, it's fine. You know, no big deal. It's in the past, and we're moving on.
Can I give you take three?
Go for it. Oh, by the way, how'd I do? As John Mara, did I cause controversy? Did I cause anger amongst the fan base and with Odell? Did I just let it roll off the shoulder and handle it like a fucking multimillionaire, billionaire, however much money John Mara fucking has that owns a professional fucking franchise?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I'll give you the non-sarcasm answer. You ready? I spoke to Odell about it internally. The coaches talked about it. We handled everything internally, and that's all I got to say about it.
Wow. So, Weiss, do you mean to tell me that we just came up with three answers in unscripted in, what was it, 60 seconds?
Yeah.
That would not have caused headlines, that would not have caused outrage, and wouldn't have caused another rift on the team? Is that what we just did?
And basically, when John Mara was going to the owners' meeting today, he knew reporters were going to be there, and he knew reporters were going to ask him the question. You should have been prepared. But what struck me was that you didn't feel the need to address it with Odell one-on-one behind closed doors. So then why are you saying anything about it publicly? And Odell, he was wrong. There was some stuff that he said that's cringeworthy, and he probably shouldn't have said that, you know, and I understand he's frustrated, and, you know, it's a very, to me, I said this earlier to somebody, I said, this is a very important time for Odell's career, because this franchise is going in transition, or we think it is, and his level of maturity is going to need to be shown, because he can't show that outburst. He can't give people ammo to shoot back at him.
Now, I'll give John Mara this much. For as much as we criticize him and think that he's a moronic owner, when the team's 1-5 and he's clearly hitched his ride to Alicia Nelson Manning, to go out there and deflect and discuss Odell, bravo, because that's all we're talking about today.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I mean, listen, it's not going to stop me from taking shots. I've been taking shots at John Mara all day, all season, last 2-3 years. But, you know, for a guy who, you know, I don't know whether it's media savvy or he's doing it accidentally, but for him to sort of just sort of dodge the fact that his team's 1-5 and just say, oh, you know, I'm pissed off, is and then sort of just blame Odell.
Well, this is what he did last year. I mean, remember, this is the guy that signed off on that plan to bench Eli Manning. He okayed it. And what did he do? 4 days later, he fired the head coach and the GM. A week prior to where he put out a statement saying he's not going to fire the head coach and the GM, that they're going to finish the season. And then
media mastermind John
Mara. He comes into here, and what does he see? He publicly makes those comments, right? Creates more unnecessary drama, added on to the drama that was created by Odell. And then this is the question that they asked him. Did you talk to Odell after his ESPN interview? This is what he said. No, I think enough people have spoken to him. So you think enough people have spoken to Odell where you don't feel the need to go to him privately and talk to him, pull him into your office and talk to him, but you feel the need to publicly say...
Exactly.
And then you sit there and say, well, Eli is being used as a punching bag. Oh, really? Is he?
Open your eyes, John.
This team cannot get out of its own way.
Yeah.
Man, I want to give credit. Pat Shurmur handled it better than John Mara did. John Mara should have done it the same thing that Pat Shurmur did. We handle it internally. We had a locker room that handled it. Even if you don't believe what he said, that's it.
I hate this team.
It doesn't make sense to me, man. Like this stuff is not hard. Like, don't say anything. And listen, I'm not sitting here absolving Odell from blame. I know a lot of people think that I'm not. I think what he said.
We said it last week. He shouldn't have done the interview.
It should have angered the owner. The owner should be angry when the guy says, I don't know if I want to be here, a month after you gave him $90 million. That should bother you.
We said it last week. Nothing that he said was untrue, but he shouldn't have done the interview.
Yeah. So
the team sucks. The quarterback sucks. Management sucks.
And I'm telling you right now, the next... How many games we have left? 10 games?
Yeah.
We got 10 games left, 11 weeks. We will learn a lot about this team, including Odell.
Yes.
You know he's frustrated. We know he's frustrated. But this is a part of Odell's career where if he can come out of this without ruining his image by doing some of the stuff that has ruined his image in the past, then we'll be fine. But it's in a very important time for him and for this organization as well. Like I said, over the course of the next 10 games, we are going to learn a lot about which guys in this locker room has character.
Mm-hmm.
And which guys are going to be here going forward or part of the rebuild.
I already know a bunch that aren't.
And listen, people get scared of that word rebuild. You can rebuild very quickly in the NFL. Very quickly. You can do it in a year. The Eagles drafted Wentz. 2 years later, they're in the Super Bowl. The Rams were a mess with Jeff Fisher. Just watch All or Nothing. I watched All or Nothing, the Amazon documentary.
Yeah.
Season 2, it's on the Rams. They're an absolute joke. 1 year later, they get the right coach in there, Sean McVay, and they get the quarterback going, and look at them. They're undefeated, probably going to be in the Super Bowl. So you can get things right. But you're going to need to build a strong locker room. You're going to need to have culture. And more importantly, you need to have the right people in charge making these decisions. So whether or not the Giants have that.
Dave Gettleman's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And listen, as much as I don't – I'll put out there, as much as I have doubts about this, I don't think he deserves to get fired after 1 year. I think that would be just a complete – you know, you want to talk about a circus, a clown show – fire a head coach in the GM after 1 year, you're doing that.
Yep.
So that's my take on it. That's my take on John Mara. That's my take on this organization, this franchise, its players. But at least we get to watch Saquon for the next 10 games.
Yeah.
He is exciting. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm really excited to watch him.
No, he's fun.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Offensive rookie of the year.
It sort of reminds me of Odell in 2014. Remember when he came onto the scene and it was like the team was awful and the only thing we had to look forward to was watching Odell.
Yeah.
So it's the same sort of scenario right now.
All right, let's talk about mybookie.ag first. If you haven't signed up yet, I don't know what you're doing. Seriously. I've been tweeting about them. I've been making GIFs of me spanking them. It's almost like I want to talk to their marketing department and be like, what are you guys doing? Because they're offering 100% deposit bonus on deposits up to $1,000. So Weiss, if you deposit $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to play with.
Nice.
I have been crushing college football, NFL. Hockey's off to a slower start, but that'll pick up. Went 19-7 on Saturday. Placed 26 bets. Using them as my personal ATM. Follow me on the Sports Action app. You can see my picks every day. Saturday, Sunday, college, professional, whatever it is. Let's rob them together. Do it with me. Promo code NYG on mybookie.ag. Sign up. Let's get rich, guys. I don't know what you're doing if you have not signed up yet. I have said it. I said it last week. I said it the week before that. I said it the week before that. And the week before that. Let's crush the rest of the season. Mybookie.ag, promo code NYG. 100% bonus up to $1,000. All right. Let's get into some questions. There were plenty of facetious ones, plenty of depressing ones.
Yeah, I did see some of that stuff.
Yeah. Shout out to Mike King. Why shouldn't I drink bleach? I mean, you should. It's been pretty bad. From Carly, which team should I root for besides this franchise?
You should. It's been pretty bad.
What's that?
Oh, he told him he should drink bleach.
Yeah, he should drink bleach.
Oh, my God.
Don't buy off-brand, though. If you're going to do it right. Carly asks, which team should I root for besides this franchise?
Weiss, Ravens. The Ravens.
No, man. We're the biggest Chiefs fans I know. We were on the Chiefs bandwagon early. We were on the Chiefs bandwagon last year.
Yes, but I really like this Ravens team, man. They remind me so much of the 2007 Giants. Their pass rush is absolutely amazing.
They had 11 sacks this past week.
They have four. I actually watched the Ravens-Titans game on Sunday. They have four or five pass rushers that could probably start on other teams.
Oh, yeah.
Especially our team.
Let me just run through the joke questions.
Sure.
When do we start seriously considering Odell at quarterback? Why shouldn't I drink bleach? Which team should I root for besides this franchise? Why do I keep crying in the shower? Why are the Giants the way they are? How long until this team completely and utterly implodes on itself? Well, it already has. Can we start a GoFundMe to buy the team from John Mara? Do you think Odell has blonde armpit hair, asking for a friend?
I don't care.
When do you change your handle to suck for the duck season? How long until we relocate?
We're going to go to Oakland?
Yeah. Why do you not use night mode on Twitter? Because night mode is for assholes. Do you use night mode?
No, I absolutely hate night mode. And
good,
I hate screenshots of night mode.
Yeah,
It's the worst.
I gave it a shot for like a day, and I'm like, I can't do this.
I gave it a shot for 30 seconds and I couldn't do it. Disgusting.
I gave it even longer than that. I was like, yo, like, you know, maybe I'll adjust. Couldn't do it. I gave it like a full day.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And this is from Ryan. We're 1-5. What would you honestly do if the Giants went on a miracle run? I mean, they're not. I don't even know what I would do.
I haven't even thought about that. That would take me to sit down and think about what I would do. I'd probably, you know, I don't know. I have to think about it. Ask me next week. You probably ask me once they finish season 10-6 because probably gonna lose on Monday night. But keep going.
All right, from Luisa, out of these three, what do you think has the most negative impact on the team, and which one would you rather fix? Uh-huh. 1, play calling. 2, quarterback. 3, offensive line. quarterback, offensive line, play calling. That's my order.
1A and 1B are the quarterback and the offensive line, then it's play calling. It's so hard for me to, like, everybody asks me, what do you think about Shermer? What do you think about Shermer? I'm like, I don't know, man.
I don't know, because like, Eli hasn't been executing. Dude, okay, talk about people that are frustrated with Eli. You saw Shermer mouthing, throw the damn ball on the sideline.
People wanted to.
Even the coach is pissed off.
Yeah, everyone's telling me, oh, Pat, well, that's the play call Pat Shermer's calling. And all of a sudden, they see the camera, put the camera on Pat Shermer, and he's yelling, throw the damn ball. It's like, yeah, I'm sure that's the play call Pat Shermer's calling. Dude is starting to get pissed, too.
Yeah. This one's a sad one. This is from the Nonsense 44. He goes, hope all is well. Don't feel the same energy with this tweet. You damn right. But anyways, is there any way we pass on a quarterback in the first round and Eli is still on the roster next season? I know, right? It's October and we're talking about the draft. SMH.
I think when that other person asked us a question about what will we do if the Giants go on a run and win... I think it would take that for Eli to be back next year.
Yeah.
As far as passing on a quarterback again, I would not surprise me.
Me neither, because if they don't end up in position to take Justin Herbert, I mean, there's no one right.
Even if they're in position, and like let's say they're in the top three, it would not surprise me if they don't take a quarterback. Oh, how about this? It would not surprise me if they pass on Justin Herbert.
Sure. Nothing would surprise me. This is from Squared Up. When should the Giants take a look at Kyle Lauletta? The million-dollar question that we have received every single week.
I mean, the ideal answer is when they are mathematically eliminated.
Correct.
But here's the thing. What can Kyle Lauletta do to show you that the Giants don't need to draft a quarterback in the offseason?
A lot.
And is there really enough time for him to do that?
Here's the thing. Their Thursday night game could not have come at a worse time. Because they got 10 days off before their next game against the Falcons. Right? They're still not technically, mathematically eliminated. Kyle Hallett is not even on the active roster on game day. He's not playing against the Falcons. You go into the bye week. Well, that's only a week off. Still probably not mathematically eliminated. He's not going to start after the bye. Then, say you got what? 7-8 games left.
Yeah.
You activate him. You make him the number two. Then what? Maybe you get him 3 or 4 games at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there'll
be not enough time to evaluate because they're incompetent.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be mathematically eliminated until around mid-November, right before Thanksgiving. Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to get him a game or two just to see what he has. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of uncertainty with the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if Kyle Lauletta is ready to even start. You know, he's a fourth-round pick coming from a small school. Had some stuff that I like. I did like, you know, some of the stuff I, you know, looked at when they did take him.
Right.
But... yeah, who knows if he's ready or not? I mean, that's just. I mean, I guess you throw him in, like you said, in the final 2 or 3 games. But to me, I don't even think that's that really big of a deal right now.
Yep.
Like, I don't really care if they play him or not.
We'll care about it in a couple weeks.
I mean, even in a couple. I mean, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
From Waffle Man, in the doomsday scenario where Herbert goes back to school, would you rather have Bosa or Oliver?
Bosa, easily.
Yeah, no contest.
Not even close.
He's better than his brother.
Yes, he is. I was just about to say that. I think he's going to be better than his brother.
Yep.
And shout out to him for doing what's best for him and leaving school early.
Yes.
Getting ready for the draft. I think more college players that are secure first-round picks should go that route. And I played high school football and I played organized team sport, but the way the NCAA is, they deserve to get screwed over. So,
yep.
It's my take.
What was the next one? From Jake, as a Giants and Islanders fan, how do I become happy? Well, Jake, you don't.
Woo.
Drink the bleach.
Take a vacation.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is like 3-part. Chances Eli is traded to Jacksonville. Zero.
I saw that. Zero. Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do with Jackson? Well, I mean, is he better than Blake Bortles?
No.
I mean, is he an upgrade to Blake Bortles? They have no real number one.
Especially not at that cap hit.
Leonard Fournette's hurt. Their offensive line. Oh, they signed Eric Flowers.
Yeah.
So, you know, they already got, you know,
they looked bad this weekend.
Yeah, can I say something, right?
You can always say something, yes.
Remember when I think it was the Green Bay game, 2016. Mm-hmm. Remember when Ereck Flowers had that horrendous game?
Which one? But yes, I do remember. I remember. I'm being facetious.
What did Sean O'Hara say? He called Ereck Flowers a what? A coach killer.
Coach killer.
Where's Pat? He was talking about how Pat Flaherty got fired, right? Where's Pat Flaherty now?
Jacksonville, baby.
And where's Ereck Flowers now?
Also Jacksonville, baby.
And where's Tom Coughlin?
Also Jacksonville, baby.
Connect your own dots. It wasn't all Jerry Reese, man. I'm telling you, it wasn't all Jerry Reese.
The next part is chances Janoris is traded if we can bring in a day two or even day one pick. After what I saw this past week, hi.
Yeah, I mean they restructured.
He doesn't give a fuck.
No, you know they restructured his contract, so yeah. The dead money would pile up now if they get rid of him.
Lovely.
Like I said, man, go back to what I said earlier. We're going to learn a lot about this team over the next 10 weeks.
And then the third one is, could Eli retire after the season? Yes.
Yeah, I think.
He should.
Yeah, I think he should too. I think the way this is headed, I think, you know, and I think he will.
Yep.
In that interview he did with Francesa, his weekly thing, he sounded like a guy that was
done.
Defeated. Yeah. He sounded like a defeated quarterback. And it doesn't help when, you know, all these former coaches and all these former quarterbacks are coming out saying that, you know, this is last year with the team and, you know, doesn't have it anymore. I think that resonates too. But I, like I said, I was sad, man. I was really, really sad after that Thursday night game, just seeing him on the field, it hurt, man. And, mm-hmm. and like I said, I was sad for him because while I think that he's playing very poorly and I think he deserves blame, the fault lies at the feet of the front office, man, going all in on this quarterback. It was not a smart decision. So now you lay in the bed that you made.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, you made your bed, now you lay in it.
Yeah, you made your bed, now you lay in it. So you put all your egg, you rally around Eli Manning, and 6 weeks in, he looks like that. He's falling off the cliff.
Yeah, hard.
Hard. All right. I got a question for you, though.
Let's do it. Let's banter a little bit because I'm done with questions.
So throughout, like, the last couple of weeks, there's been a name that keeps popping up. The Giants will sign a certain quarterback that's a free agent.
Okay.
And that quarterback was Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
Right? And early on, I just thought it was, you know, just that, just banter and just nonsense. People trying to, you know, for the sake of just getting Colin Kaepernick on a team, they just said that. Regardless of if he fits or not, they just said that. But I heard an interesting point someone made, and that was that the Giants can't use Eli Manning as a stopgap quarterback next year for many reasons. Number one, because he's, you know, the most iconic quarterback in their franchise. He's pretty much done. And they can't carry his $23 million cap it next season. You can't pay a stopgap quarterback $23 million. And Colin Kaepernick makes sense because he won't be expensive. He is a mobile guy. And on top of that, you know, you don't have to commit a lot of money to him. So would you sign Colin Kaepernick to, let's say, be a stopgap guy to Justin Herbert?
I'll say no. I mean, you know, we're probably the biggest Colin Kaepernick podcast out there. I'll say no, because at this point, right, you're not bringing him in this year.
No.
I know. I understand what you're saying. I'm saying you're not going to bring him in this year. If the plan is to draft the rookie quarterback in Herbert, I'd rather you just start him right away.
Okay.
Because you look around the league. What was the point in Tyrod Taylor starting, what, four games?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
The Jets have Josh McCown on the roster for fucking like $12 million, and Sam Darnold got the start.
I agree with you, but what you said earlier was that you don't think that Justin Herbert is as good as Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen. Correct. You don't even know if he's better than Darnold.
Right, but what's that going to change, right? Like, I also didn't think that Sam Darnold was that great, and look at what he's doing with a mediocre offensive line. Like, I'd rather get the rookie game experience right away. I mean, look at the Bills. Their team is horrendous. They started Josh Allen. He flashed a little bit. You can make the argument that with the cap savings that you have from Eli Manning, you said it yourself, you can rebuild an NFL team in one or two seasons.
Absolutely.
The cap hit that you save Eli Manning, the $22-23 million, I understand that not all of that is going to count because of Odell's extension coming in, but you also think about the JPP money that gets freed up next year, right? You spend that first, second, third overall, whatever it is, on a quarterback. Then you go out and you get some offensive line help. Uh-huh. You try to shed Omame. You get like a real center. And look at all these rookie quarterbacks around the league. Who does Josh Allen have on his team? Nobody. Who does Josh Rosen have? Ricky Seals-Jones? David Johnson's been average to good at best. Larry Fitz looks washed this year. Sam Darnold has literally nobody that's a big name on his roster. Baker Mayfield, he's got Jarvis Landry and a couple guys who, you know, they have promise, but late round picks, whatever. Carlos Hyde, he's sort of old. Nick Chubb, third round pick. You get Justin Herbert with Odell, Saquon, and then you use that money to free up. There's no reason that the Giants can't have a good offense next year when they start him right away, right? I've been a proponent of sitting guys a year because you look at what happened with Mahomes. But Mahomes was sitting behind Alex Smith, who was, you know, pretty good. The Chiefs had a pretty good run with him, and they had a good coach. And, you know, he was coming from that air raid offense where it's going to take some time to learn. You throw Herbert in there with Odell, Saquon, an average offensive line. I think he should be ready to start right away. I don't see any sense in wasting a year of his development. And I say that as a guy who's defended Kaepernick relentlessly over the last 2 years.
Yeah, but you're not going to need a... See, because when I watched Herbert, I saw a little bit of Kaepernick, too. Like, I saw a little bit of Kaepernick.
There's just too many comps, man. I've heard white Cam Newton. I've heard, Josh Allen mixed with Carson Wentz. There's a lot of comps.
Yeah, I think the reason why... And not even Kaepernick, right? I think they're going to need a veteran quarterback in that room. Someone that's actually familiar with Pat Shurmur too. And so, because I think you have to prepare yourself for the fact that your quarterback might not be ready to start. And you can't just, you know, and it's not even about sitting him a whole year. You might need to sit him for three, maybe two, maybe four games, whatever. So they're going to need a veteran quarterback. And to me, Kaepernick should be an option. Now, he probably won't be.
But certainly not with John Mara.
No. But somebody like, they're going to need a veteran quarterback in that room too. And, you know, it was an interesting thing that was brought up. I think it was by Max Kellerman, who made an interesting argument. It didn't seem like he was just saying it for the sake of getting Colin Kaepernick on the team. And he actually had a decent argument for it. And I was like, yeah, it sort of makes sense. If you don't believe in whether or not Kaepernick deserves to be on a roster, just from a football perspective, they're going to need another, you know, stopgap quarterback with them, with that rookie, eventually, whenever that is. If it is Justin Herbert next year, who knows?
All right. So, yeah. I mean, there's nothing I'm going to get upset over.
NBA season starts tonight.
Yeah. NHL started a few days ago. Or a week ago, yeah.
How are the Islanders doing? And it's not for sake of making fun.
They're actually off to a decent start. I mean, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. They're going to be pretty miserable this year, but you know, it's been decent. Yeah. All right. Are we done? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Holy crap! That video of John Mara throwing.
I know.
I just
retweeted it. It's so funny.
Where is that from?
I have no clue. I gotta find out. I literally just retweeted it because that kid tagged us in it. So funny.
Oh my god.
It's like the oldest white guy chair throw I've ever seen.
Oh my. Hey,
go check it out on my timeline if you haven't seen it.
Thank you guys for listening. Oh my God, I can't get over this video.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow YSNYG Daily. Follow the blog GothamSN. Subscribe, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Shout out to the sponsors, MyBookie.ag and Fantasy Foresight Podcast. That's about it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.